Part three. So, before we move forward, I think I should just note that technically, from the perspective of posterity, right, this stack I'm giving you, this conception of a stack of references going from least recent, or the bottom being the cloud-based reference, all the way up to the header being the top or the most recent, right, and all the references in between, which are stacked according to their block height within their cloud chain occurrence proof. What I want to just note is that, again, from the perspective of posterity, technically, this sequence is not provably the actual sequence of events or the actual sequence in which these references were created. But in reality, it most likely will be. And more importantly, the whole point of understanding this sequence is in evaluating how these time proofs will be evaluated, right? Because it's just a clear and simple way to think of them. And in reality, it will represent the order. But don't worry about that. If you don't get why, it's technically not provably the order. Okay. So, regardless of whether or not it's the actual order in which they came, and it likely will be, you are going to be considering this sequence based on the block height of the cloud chain occurrence proof, okay? And you'll see what I mean as we move forward. So, backing up a bit, right? We've got our two components of a valid timestamp in a TSN reference, namely the cloud chain occurrence proof component and the human timestamp component. And what we're about to, and so again, the cloud chain occurrence proof component is going to have to fulfill one rule, being a time proximity rule, whereas the human timestamp component is going to have to fulfill two rules, both of which being recency proof rules. What we're first going to explain is the cloud chain occurrence proof component and how the proximity rule applies in this scenario, okay? So the main question to ask when we're talking about proximity rules is, are we comparing something in the present to something in the past? Or, alternatively, are we comparing something in the present to something in the future? Okay? In this scenario, we are going to be comparing our cloud chain occurrence proof to something in the past. So, in order to meet the proximity rule, or to fulfill it, the cloud chain occurrence proof component of your timestamp is going to have to be within 144 cloud chain blocks of the block height of the last TSN reference, or the reference below it in the stack. Okay, so last in terms of the let's just say one less in the stack. Easier to communicate, right? In the past, okay? So, put differently, is the block height of the cloud chain occurrence proof you are analyzing less than the block height of the last cloud chain occurrence proof reference plus 144 blocks? Or is it within that interval, right? And if it is, you're good to go. And that's the proximity rule as it applies to the cloud chain timestamp component of a TSN reference. So, for the purposes of this conversation, going forward, when I use the word last, as in the last reference, I'm going to be meaning one reference in the past, okay? One down in the stack. When I use the word subsequent or subsequent reference, I'm going to be talking about one reference in the future, or one reference up in the stack, or one item up in the stack, I should say, because headers are going to be a part of the stack. All right? Hopefully that helps clear things up. Let's move on, guys. The human component of the timestamp, as mentioned, is going to have to fulfill two different recency proofs. Let's dig into those motherfuckers. The first recency proof: is the human timestamp in the current reference greater than the cloud chain occurrence proof timestamp in the current reference, right? That one's pretty straightforward. You have two components. The human timestamp has to be greater than the cloud chain. It has to be more recent, right? The second recency rule or proof that the human timestamp component has to fulfill is the question of, is the human timestamp less than the occurrence proof timestamp of the subsequent reference, or plus one in the stack, one higher, right? So, I should note that in the case of the most recent reference in the stack, in other words, the reference that precedes the header at the top, you are going to be comparing your human timestamp component to an occurrence proof which uses both Bitcoin and Litecoin, because the header timestamp, as we're going to touch on as we move forward in a second, has both of those for its occurrence proof component. So you could say it has two components, a human and an occurrence proof, but in the case of the header, the occurrence proof has two subcomponents, right? It has Bitcoin proof and a Litecoin occurrence proof, right? So when we're talking about this second recency rule as it applies to TSN references, the human timestamp component, you are going to be asking, is this human timestamp less recent, okay, or less than the timestamp than both timestamps used in the header, okay? So it has to be less than both of them. So compared to Bitcoin, less. Compared to the Litecoin, less. Now, when you're talking about any other reference, which isn't the highest reference in the stack, it's a bit simpler. It's just, is this human timestamp less recent than the occurrence proof in the subsequent reference, which is going to be just one cloud chain occurrence proof for all the regular TSN references, right? But when you're comparing to the header, you're talking about Bitcoin and Litecoin, and there's reasons that is used, which is going to be a lecture for a different day, right? But nonetheless, it has to be less than each of those two subcomponents when we're talking about the header. Got it? Good. Now, before we jump into what constitutes a valid timestamp in an identity block header, let's take a quick detour and let me just back up and explain that if you had read the white paper, written a long time ago, and a lot's happened since then, we had spoken about something called the block time limit rule, and then there was this notion of an exception to the block time limit rule, and it was a bit convoluted, and there was some problems with it. So part of this whole series of lectures related to this topic of the TSN protocol was basically us just cleaning that whole just cleaning the whole TSN protocol up. And part of the problems that related to this notion of the block time limit rule and the need to even have an exception, right? And by the way, if you haven't read the white paper and don't know, then just go ahead and forget it because it's not important. But if you had read it, you'll understand how things have improved. And so this whole notion of needing an exception to the rule, and by the way, it was not the best name in the block time limit rule, right? And it's like, which blocks are we talking about? You have all these different blockchains. So now it's better labeled as the proximity rules, and they apply specifically in different contexts, right? So what I'm trying to get at, right, is the whole notion of needing to have an exception to this rule. And the way these rules were built was kind of based around the fact that at the time we couldn't really rely on the headers of identity blocks or rely on the timestamps within the headers of identity blocks, right? And so, further, the whole idea of having this block time limit rule, which is now better labeled proximity rule, was it goes back towards this idea that you need to ensure that content creators are publishing identity blocks as frequently as they are publishing content. So, in other words, in order to avoid breaking this rule, which says that, loosely, you can't really be publishing references that are more than a day out from the last without starting a new identity block. In the former implementation, there was no way to keep up or to stay in accordance of the rules without having this like exception rule. And part of the reason there was no way to stay in accordance was because we couldn't really depend upon identity block headers. So, to make a long story short, I believe we have completely fixed this problem, and we can now rely on identity block headers and their timestamps, and thus there's no need to have this whole notion of an exception rule because if you come to a point where you're publishing or you're creating a reference and it's outside of the proximity interval, you're simply going to publish the block, which means you're creating a new header. And then you're going to start a new identity block. And since you can depend upon the validity of the timestamp of that header, and now in these new set of rules, use it as an item in a stack to be used in applying these proximity rules, and we're going to get to that later, right? How do these time proofs apply to the cloud-based reference, right? So that's like, well, the cloud-based reference is going to go one down to the next block, to the header of the next block, right? But let's not jump too far ahead. So the overarching point being that we can now rely on headers and the rules are much clearer and cleaner, and there's no need for an exception rule. So, identity block headers and the timestamps therein. What makes them valid? What doesn't? Let's do it. The identity block header has the identity block header timestamp has two components to it, okay? An occurrence proof component, which has two subcomponents, right? It has a Bitcoin occurrence proof and a Litecoin occurrence proof. So it has the occurrence proof component, and then it has a human timestamp component, right? Like all other timestamps. Now, in terms of the occurrence proof component of the identity block header timestamp, it simply needs to have one out of two of its occurrence proofs be valid. And I think you know what that means by now, right? But the difference here is there is no time proof rules applied to the occurrence proof component of the identity block header. There's no recency rule, there's no proximity rule. It's not necessary. Where they do come in moving forward is to the human component of the identity block header timestamp. And, you know, more specifically, the human timestamp component is going to have to fulfill one recency proof rule, and it's going to have to fulfill one proximity proof rule. In terms of how the recency rule applies to our human component, it's pretty straightforward. Again, the human timestamp is going to have to be greater than or more recent than the occurrence proof component. Now, of course, you have two subcomponents of a Bitcoin and a Litecoin proof. So it's going to have to be greater than both, or, you know, each of them, right? It's going to have to be greater than the Bitcoin, and it's going to have to be greater than the Litecoin occurrence proof. And so that's the how the recency rule applies, right? Now, the proximity rule is a bit more complex, but I think you'll be able to get this. So, in this instance, we're going to be applying the proximity rule by comparing the human timestamp component with something in the future, okay? We're going to be using a subsequent reference, right? Plus one, or one up in the stack, one higher, right? In order to see if we can fulfill this rule. The part where it gets complex is that we're going to be using something within the subsequent reference, okay? Now, in this context, we're talking about the human timestamp of an identity block header. So what would be the subsequent reference or one up in the stack? Well, you're actually talking about the cloud-based reference of the next block, one block higher, right? And so what we're going to be using is actually something within this cloud-based reference as opposed to its own timestamp. Here's the deal, guys. Every cloud-based reference, right, in order to be a valid cloud-based reference, is going to need to have the transaction ID, right, the cloud chain transaction ID, or it's going to need to refer to, right, within it, the cloud chain transaction ID of the publishing transaction of their last identity block, right? And this was part of the whole last topic of how, you know, the cloud chain is providing this blind attestation to the existence of identity blocks, right? So we know that every cloud-based reference is going to have these transaction IDs within. It's part of what makes a valid cloud-based reference. And so getting back on topic, when we're talking about the human timestamp component of an identity block header, and we're talking about the proximity rule as it applies to it, we're going to be comparing this human timestamp with the transaction ID, with the timestamp of the transaction ID in the cloud-based reference, as opposed to the cloud-based reference timestamp, right? There's a big difference there. We're actually talking about comparing this human timestamp component of the identity block header to a transaction within the cloud chain, right? And guess what, guys? I'm about to blow your mind here. At the time when you as root are creating your identity block header, this transaction ID, by its own, you know, definition or by its own nature, will not even exist yet. Can you just chew on that for a second? So how could you be comparing it to something that doesn't exist yet? Well, that brings us to another important noodle to chew on, which is that the validity of a TSN reference is actually determined in hindsight, okay? In other words, it's determined in the future by those in posterity. Well, let's be real specific here, right? The validity of a TSN reference cannot be determined until one additional identity block in the future. And why is that? Well, because the validity of its header, okay, depends upon its comparison to a cloud, to something within a cloud-based reference in the next identity block. That's the first part. And the second part is that it's not a valid cloud-based reference in the next block until that block header is published. So in terms of the validity of a TSN reference, we're always going to be living one block in the future. Now, let's remember what the goal is here, right? The goal is to, you know, ensuring this PB pop in real time is easy, and we already pretty much have achieved that. By adding this protocol, we are meeting the challenge of creating reliable PBPOP for those in posterity. Now, this actually, if you really think about it, is not all that dissimilar from what happens with Bitcoin and the tip of the Bitcoin blockchain, right? I mean, it's a bit similar and it's a bit dissimilar, right? It's similar in the fact that the tip of the Bitcoin blockchain, or any blockchain, right, is always fluid, right? It's always uncertain until it is confirmed, until there's confirmations, right? But the tip is always, uncertain, right? The difference is that it becomes, in Bitcoin, it becomes progressively more certain, as according to the number of blocks that are successfully solved on top of the block we are speaking about, right? And that's different than our identity blockchain tip, in that one block in the future, you know that the block and all the references therein are valid, okay? So it's, you don't have this progressive building of like, well, it's in Bitcoin, it's like never and always, it's always a degree of how valid a transaction is. So it's even more Boolean, right, in a sense, in our identity blockchain than it is in Bitcoin. It's a set time in the future where it becomes valid. All right, one identity block in the future, okay? And you'll pretty much know that as long as you're doing things right, then the references you're building in real time are, you know, not too far away from becoming valid, right? Now, so we're almost done here, right? Let's put a period on that proximity rule and how it applies to our human timestamp component of the identity block header, right? So now let's put back into context what we're talking about here, what we're comparing, right? We're talking about a human timestamp compared, you know, of the identity block header compared to the timestamp of a transaction within the next, you know, the subsequent cloud-based reference, a transaction ID, right? And so what is that timestamp? Well, that timestamp is going to be the cloud chain block. You know, that transaction ID is a transaction within a cloud chain block, right? So every cloud chain block has a network time, right? Like similar to how they're used in occurrence proofs. And so we're going to be comparing our human timestamp to the network time or network timestamp of that cloud block within that TXID, okay? So the key difference to note here, another difference between our last application of the proximity rule, is that in this instance we're not using blocks. So the way this goes is the human timestamp is going to have to be within 24 hours of the network timestamp of this cloud block, okay? To put that a bit differently, let's say it like this. The human timestamp component of our identity block header, which is, again, a Unix epoch time, right? It's a number of seconds, must be, or the human timestamp component plus 24 hours, okay, must be greater than the network timestamp within that transaction ID of the subsequent reference, which is a cloud-based reference. So, and again, you know, the transaction ID, not the timestamp of that cloud-based reference, right? So, you know, 24 hours is going to be a number of seconds, right? All you math geeks are probably doing it in your head. And so it's basically just this human timestamp plus 24 hours must be greater than the TXID timestamp. And so, like, you're still stuck on this fact that at the time you're making the header, the publishing transaction to the cloud chain doesn't exist yet. The thing to grasp is that, A, like all the other rules, as long as you're not trying to game the system and intentionally create invalid timestamps, you're going to be following these rules, or your software will be, without, you know, even trying, right? And further, what this is really doing, if you're a thinker, right, then you grasp, it's saying, well, once I make this identity block header, I had better get this publishing transaction confirmed by the cloud chain network, okay? So we're both ensuring that the identity block header has a reliable timestamp, and further, that you are beginning the process of getting this identity block published in a timely manner, right? And then you're going to see in the next part that further you are creating the subsequent cloud-based reference and starting your next identity block in a timely manner. But we'll touch on that in the next part, peace.